Hello friends, welcome back to the V-Lecture series of eSchool on the subject Strategic Management. Today we are going to talk about Chapter 5, Corporate Level Strategy. So we had seen in the last class, we talked about creating, understanding a fair amount of idea on how to create vision, mission, objectives and goals. These are very important terminologies that we'll be using in the strategy formulation process. And we also seen that in the strategy formulation, there are three levels of strategies. The first level is corporate level strategy. The second level is SBU level strategy. The third one is functional level strategy. In this chapter, we'll be dealing with corporate level strategy. Any organization corporate level strategy is a very important piece of exercise where you need to decide, identify the industry that you belong to. You need to understand the environment. You need to understand the competition. You need to understand your vision, which direction the company needs to take, what the aspirations are, what the purpose is, and what kind of socio-economic impact that you want to create in the industry by creating differentiated products and services offerings in the marketplace. So this is a nutshell the story that we have seen so far. The corporate level strategy is a very important piece. You have to decide at a corporate level what kind of growth strategy you need to have. Do you remain in one industry, or do you expand into the same industry with multiple lines of business, or you get into multiple lines of businesses in unrelated industry? So there could be three scenarios possibly that your business can think of. So the India has been going through a major change in the last decade. Indian companies have become global, and they have taken on challenges where business complexity has become very, very, the order of the day, and also become very challenging, from time to time. I'm saying, the Indian corporate management take these challenges as opportunities of growth. And then how do they build on building corporate strategies and SBU level strategies and functional strategies to thrive on their businesses? And they have multiplied their turnovers, they have multiplied their businesses into diversified areas, expanded their existing business, become leaders in their existing businesses, or become challengers in the business, in the industry, competing with the other likes of their companies. So this is the background. So we'll see in this chapter basically to understand the process of defining a corporate profile. Corporate profiling is very important. How do you want to be associated with yourself? How do you want to be identified as a corporate profile, as a company? Suppose you are in a telecom space, or you are in IT space, or you are in retail space, or you are in banking and insurance space. How do you want to be identified? What do you want to be identified? What is your corporate profile? So we need to clearly understand and define that process. Understand how organization makes decision on single or multiple businesses. Single means single industry business. There could be multiple businesses within the same industry also. There could be multiple businesses in unrelated industries also. So how do we define that? To understand the growth strategy and stability strategy, to learn more about retrenchment strategy when organization goes through major restructuring and revamping of their overall structure and the overall strategy, vision and strategy. To understand BCG growth share matrix, how does it help in devising a corporate level strategy? To evaluate global corporate strategy. So you have an understanding because we are Indian companies. So how do you relate and how do you take the best practices from global standards? I think this chapter will cover all these points, and I'm sure if you have any doubt, as usual, I've been requesting you can write to me or call me directly. Introduction to corporate level strategy. With the scale and complexity of our businesses and becoming more globalized day by day, volatile markets, market expects continuous innovation. Your shareholders and stakeholders expect returns irrespective whether the market is tough or the environment gets tough. So you have to be having innovative strategies to thrive on these scenarios. Corporate strategy is a long-term strategy. It is not a short-term strategy. It is not that, you know, I want to meet my this quarterly numbers, this financial year numbers. So I want to put a strategy and then I, you know, execute that strategy. It is all about a long-term, taking a long-term view of the organization and its business and the whole purpose that you want to serve over a period of time, over a period of long time. So it could be 3 years, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. If you have that vision, you can't have a limited vision in a corporate strategy because you can't keep changing, you know, your course after you have traveled some distance. Given the complexity, given the challenges, given the global uncertainty and volatility, you can't take any, you know, any risk which are beyond your comprehension, beyond your control, beyond your capability and beyond your ability to manage those risks. So I think given that background, given that input, there are challenges, there are enough challenges. Corporate strategy is a long-term strategy encompassing the organization formulated to deal with complexity of the industry, its business, and fostering innovation. Continually, how do you innovate in your business? Continually, how do you bring in new products? How do you bring in new service level engagements with your customers? I think these are the key things because, you know, products and services are given, but on top of it, what is the value proposition your organization is going to deliver? Thereby, you are able to meet the vision. You are able to reach the vision of creating value for all your stakeholders. Or as we put it in the last class, how do you create, how do you enhance the lives of millions of people and employees, right? Corporate strategy must ensure organizational compliance to achieve stated goals. So at the same time, corporate strategy, corporate part of the company has the overall responsibility and accountability to corporate governance. They cannot take things for granted. They have to be serious about doing business, ethical, transparent, and legal business. That's what it means. Within the confines, within the guidelines of the government and the regulatory agencies. So this is very important. Corporate governance is the most important thing we'll be hearing in the strategic management process. Because you become the corporate governance board of strategies being implemented in the strategic business units, functional levels, and at the individual level. You know, you cannot have anything that goes wrong in order to achieve the stated vision and the goals. So that's a key responsibility and accountability that lies with the corporate management. Corporate profile. Let's talk about corporate profile. What is corporate profile? Top management is entrusted clearly with defining corporate profile of the organization, which industry you want to be in, what business you want to be doing. Do you want to do one single identified business or you want to do multiple identified businesses in the same industry? Or you want to do multiple identified businesses in multiple unrelated industries? So there are companies, for example, Tata Group is into almost every line of business we have seen, we have talked about in the earlier chapters. It is famously called salt to software conglomerate. $100 billion in turnover in the year, financial year 12-13. They got maximum number of acquisitions globally. They have got expansion strategy, they have got diversification strategy, they have restructuring strategy all the time. They have actually, you know, you name an industry, they are there. So let's talk about, the third category, which is basically expanding and diversifying into multiple businesses in unrelated industry. So they are everywhere there. Software industry, IT industry, telecom industry, hotel industry, steel industry, be it automobile industry, be it chemicals industry, anything. You talk about our retail industry. So you're there in everything. They are in FMCG also. They are in, I can't often tell you all the companies, but Tata Company is there in every industry. That's the most loved brand in India. So having said that, they also have multiple businesses in the same related industry. For example, recently they have launched two airline companies, one with AirAsia for the low offering low frills of carrier or airline services. Similarly, they have also tied up with Singapore Airlines to offer high-end of the airline services. So airline industry is one, but they got two complementing businesses without affecting each other. Mostly it should not affect each other, because AirAsia, Tata and AirAsia joint venture is all about creating low frills kind of airlines company, and Tata and Singapore Airlines is all about creating a high-end full service carrier. So this is one aspect. Let us talk about even in the IT industry, information technology, they got multiple companies. TCS is a flagship company, which is the most valued company within the Tata group. They also have other companies like Tata Elxsi and CMC and whole lot of other companies. Within the telecom sector, they got Tata Communications and TTSL and so on and so forth. So Tata company as a group, Tata group as a organization, has diversified interests within the same sector or the industry, and also they have diversified into different industries with different businesses. So I think that's a classical example. So the profile of the organization is completely it's called conglomerate, business conglomerate it is called. With deliberations, top management may choose to operate in any of the following types of business. Operate in a single industry, that's what we said. Some companies operate only in one industry and they become leader in that space. Operate in multiple related industry, they got similar companies within the same industry, which you have seen examples. Operate in multiple unrelated industries. So you are diversifying completely into different businesses and different industries. Companies operating in single industry are susceptible to cyclical downturns, because you're risking and you're putting every egg in one basket. So you're risking yourself. So you have to go through cyclical downturns and you don't have anything to complement your company. Any adverse changes in the business environment. Corporate profile. The motivation of a company to diversify actually comes from the fact that it complements its core businesses and helps the organization to mitigate uncertainty and risks, and also to create long-term value for the stakeholders. I think it's always about creating long-term value to all the stakeholders, be it employees, be it customers, be it partners, be it shareholders and owners, be it the society. So the motivation is to diversify, but it comes from the fact that you want to complement your core business, backward integration, forward integration, or you want to completely go into unrelated business also. It helps the organization to mitigate risks on the way, right? Diversification enables a company to grow its revenues, profits, potentially uses its resources more effectively. So in diversification, you can leverage each other's core assets and strengths and weaknesses. Thereby, you can cut down costs, you can improve your efficiency, effectiveness, your employees will get more challenges by working in different businesses within the industry or working within different businesses in different industries. So the organization culture actually gets diversified, more globalized. You behave like a global company. Your maturity levels are completely different, and it is par excellence. The strategy to become successful is to analyze the entire market landscape, identify the right fit, then complements your company's strategy. Here comes the most important thing. So how do you identify? How do you get into diversification mode? You can't just jump into every business that you think of, unless it makes a strategic sense, a strategic fit for your organization. You need to identify those businesses which complements your core business. You may not want to get into a business which is completely unrelated, not going to add any value to your core business or add any value to your overall group's vision. So that you should bear in mind. So that is how you analyze the entire market landscape. You identify the right fit, identify the strategy. You want to go for an expansion strategy or diversification strategy, or you want to go for a merger and acquisition. You want to go for a retrenchment strategy. There are multiple strategies that we'll be seeing at a corporate level. So here comes it as corporate level strategies. So some companies want to grow organically, they are very good. They got a well-established processes. They got excellent people. They got excellent products and services. They got excellent client base, customer base. So they want to build on it. They want to increase their market share. They want to kill the competition. They want to, you know, grow organically every year by 15-20%, come what may, whether it is downturn or recession or depression or high, you know, whatever it happens to the economy. I have a clear strategy mitigating all the risks. I will grow on an average of 15-20%. So, you know, over a 5 years period, my turnover doubles approximately. So that's the strategy, organic strategy. Inorganic strategy can come in different ways, you know, either through merger and acquisition or expansion and diversification. So you will have to identify the right fit, which complements your core business, which also relates to your industry more or less very closely to add more value. So that's called inorganic growth. So you are adding and then integrating the company within your core business, acquiring and integrating. Stability strategy. So you don't want to grow. I want to be kind of a stable business. I'm happy with what I'm doing, right? Most of the time, you know, some managements will decide, this market is saturated. Let me maintain status quo. I'm getting my revenues. I have constant database, customer base. My products are good. I keep introducing new features year after year. I am able to, you know, do well in terms of revenues and profits, decent. So I will maintain it. Retrenchment strategy, you're going through a recession. Your company has been hit very badly, impacted by, you know, high inflation and low growth, and customers are moving away. Customers are not buying newly, and your revenues are slowing down, or revenues are declining, and hence it is impacting your profits. So you need to have a clear restructuring and retrenchment. Turnaround strategy. Your company has been doing badly for the last 5 years, 3 years or 5 years. So how do you turn around? How do you revive your company back into growth path? Divestment strategy. Some of the areas in your business you want to divest, which are not adding any more value. You feel that, you know, this business was there, it helped in the past, but going forward, it is not going to help anymore. So you are identifying that business or assets, and I want to sell it off. For example, divestment. The government is feeling that, you know, some of the stake in some of the public sector companies it wants to divest. Thereby, you know, it unlocks value and then thereby controlling the fiscal deficit of the government. So it's a good strategy. Liquidation strategy. You want to completely sell off the business. So you have a company. Absolutely, you know, it's not doing well, or it is doing well or not doing well. Either case, you feel that you want to, it is the right time to exit the business. So you are completely, you know, liquidating it. Inorganic growth involves horizontal integration, vertical integration, conglomerate diversification, mergers and acquisition. So this we'll be seeing it in detail. Growth strategy, organic growth, which is growing, you know, on an industry average or slightly better than industry average or even more than the industry average. So you want to grow organically. You don't want to add any by buying some companies and adding it to my core business. So it can be achieved by increasing production capacity, introducing new products and services. That is by increasing the sales revenue, increasing the manpower. So obviously every year I am growing 15-20%, my industry average is 10%, but I am growing 15-20%. I am the number one market shareholder in the market. Having said that, which is good enough for a company to double the turnover in 4 to 5 years time, which is good, rather than acquiring a company, because you don't know what comes with it. There could be a lot of legacy. Bad legacy, you had it. Good legacy, it'll add value. So This strategy is a good strategy for companies which are doing well, either a leader or a challenger in the market space. Enables company to leverage its expertise and preserve its corporate culture, because you are well defined organization, well established. You've got clear guidelines, you've got an organizational culture, you've got a strategic vision. Your company is year on year creating stakeholder values. So you want to go on that trajectory. and grow your organization turnover. Expansion of business happens at a controlled pace by growing existing business. So existing business is growing at a particular rate, growth rate. So give or take 1 or 2 percentage points, you're growing anyway. You're growing faster than the market growth, so which is good. But you want to have a controlled, because you don't want to pick up any business that comes in your way. You're a very quality conscious kind of company. You want to make profits and you want to add value to all the stakeholders. So you're growing on a controlled pace. That is what it, you know, it comes to. Growth strategy. Then second one is inorganic. We talked about acquisitions. In my book, I have talked about a lot of acquisitions there. So there are many, many companies, Indian companies have gone and acquired global companies. We can give a number of examples there. Enables the company to grow more rapidly and aggressively. Its turnover, size of the organization can multiply faster than you can overnight become a number three player, can become number one by acquiring two companies, right? One company is having 10% market share, your company is having 12% market share, the leader is having 20% market share. By acquiring the number three player, or number two player acquiring the number three player, your market share has become 22%, vis-a-vis the number one earlier was 20, now you have overtaken that. So that's a different ball game, and it's an aggressive strategy. So you become number one in the marketplace. Key challenges involved in organic growth is managing the integration and diversified culture. This is a big, big challenge. So are you acquiring a company with a good legacy? Have you done due diligence? Have you done all the analysis about the company? Does the company bring more value to your core business? Does it diversify your business in an integrated manner? It presents a much better value proposition to your customers. Does it create value for all the stakeholders, most importantly, at the end of the day? So these are the questions: due diligence of financial aspects, organizational cultural aspects, the earlier company's vision in terms of product creation and services creation. Many things go into, then how do the customers feel? If they have dissatisfied customers, it is a bad asset to touch. They will have bad legacies. They'll have past problems coming haunting you. So we need to, an organization corporate strategy has to be very clear about inorganic growth. Inorganic growth is a very challenging kind of a proposition, but if it works well, it can take you to places. So for that, the homework and planning has to be very clear. The inorganic growth can happen through mergers and acquisitions, takeovers, buying significant stake in another company, right? So this is how it happens. So we can give many examples. Tata Steel acquired Corus Steel in the UK. Tata Motors acquired JLR, Jaguar and Land Rover in the UK. Airtel, Bharti Airtel acquired Zain Africa. You can give a number. Aditya Birla Group acquired, Hindalco acquired Novelis. TCS acquired many companies. Infosys acquired many companies. But there are many companies, I can give a number of examples. I have given case studies also there in the book. These companies are acquired after a thorough due diligence, what it brings to the table, to the parent company, acquiring company. Otherwise, it is going to be a bad acquisition, and it is going to be a drag on your balance sheet, and it is going to pull down your core business over a period of time, because your energy and focus and organizational resources are deployed in the merger and integration. It's going to be a tough task. So the criteria for acquisition, merger and acquisition, should be clearly defined from day one. What is your purpose? What are the criteria that you're going to define for evaluation? Does it make sense for all the stakeholders?